Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts. Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where? Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
But she looks freaking awesome, as you might imagine. She is so cool. She probably made this. Oh, I cannot even with awesomeness.
Oh, hi. Man.
Hello.
Oh, my Lord. Hang on. I was away from the microphone turning on my backup recording. Molly was oohing and aahing over the Met Gala. We got other things going on.
We'll get there. We'll get there. Not time for that yet. I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, the podcast where we help today make sense, just not right when the show starts.
Just not. I mean, we're busy people, as are we all, actually. I'm Kyle Risdahl. Monday today, also known as What We Miss Monday. Some of the stories you might have missed over the weekend or early this morning, in my case. And then, you know, a little other stuff, too.
Yep, exactly. But we are going to start with the story of the day before we get to our headlines from the weekend, which I am happy to say I totally agree. This is the story of the day because the myth of Apple's security impermeability has been shattered into a bajillion Pegasus-shaped pieces.
So,
Pegasus,
I need you to explain. Explain the story. No, I need you to explain. Zero-click NSO Group Pegasus spyware. Go ahead. You go.
So Pegasus, of course, is, I don't know if you saw this, but the Pegasus was the spyware that was revealed to be in use. It was created by this Israeli security group, a spyware company, essentially, that is like spyware for hire. So governments had been using this software called Pegasus to spy on activists and journalists and all kinds of people. And it was pretty controversial, and then it sort of kind of went away until it turns out that researchers at Citizen Lab found that, in fact, this spyware also affected Apple devices, iPhone, iPad, Apple Watch, or Mac computer. And when you say no click, you mean this stuff can just burp, turn on your camera. You don't have to do a thing.
It just shows
innocent
up. Oh, God.
You get a text. What? I'm, like, afraid I got it because I got this weird text yesterday that was like, your Apple ID has been deactivated for security reasons. And I was like, well, that's obviously not real. I'm not going to click it. But let's say that was a text carrying this highly invasive spyware. And for all I know, it was. I don't know. It could have, without me doing a single thing, once that text appeared, invisibly infected my iPhone. And then it could do basically anything. It could turn on the camera and mic. It could record a message. It could send a text, email, call. Here it is. The quote from the security senior researcher at Citizen Lab, the ones who found it, said, this spyware can do anything an iPhone user can do on their device and more.
Yeah.
It's really bad. It's bad that this exists. It's bad that this was made like as a commercial product. I wonder if Apple knew that this was a possibility. But this is like, in terms of Apple products specifically, huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So the piece I read, so I have to tell you, I saw Nicole Perlroth's tweet. She covers tech for the New York Times. I saw her tweet and like dug into it for about 30 seconds and then updated every single one of my devices because honestly, it's terrifying. apparently, Apple found out about this. Now, you raise a really good point about whether they knew it was possible, but they found out about it like Thursday. And I've spent 72 hours, their engineers have, trying to figure out this patch. So the patch is out there. Update your iOS software. And holy cow. Just holy cow. Truly terrifying.
Because it's been reported for a long time that this NSO spyware existed on iPhones, had been used on iPhones, could be potentially disseminated through iMessage. It seems like the thing that we didn't know necessarily was that there could be this zero-click exploit.
But zero-click, that's the part, man.
That's the part.
You know, because we all know not to click on the links and don't pick up the US, don't pick up the thumb drive in the parking lot and put it in your laptop, all this jazz. But zero click, what do you do? What do you do?
And people and security experts have been saying for years that Apple, you know, was basically touting its impenetrable security on a wing and a prayer, right? With fingers crossed behind their back, like we hope, we just pray it lasts. We just pray it lasts because it was always hope springs eternal situation and the hope is gone.
Right. Hope it's
story of 2021, am I right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
What else you got?
Some other things. Yeah. Other things that caught my eye news-wise over the weekend, and I'm just going to read you what I have written here in our rundown. I'm going to skip over the September 11th stuff because I figure all y'all either saw it or are aware of it or don't need to be reminded of it, and I appreciate that and will respect it. It just, you know, it happened and it's real, and that's that. Two more straight up my alley. One from American Shipping and then the other one from UPS, which is also an American shipping company, but more to the point, has global reach. U.S. ports and their log jams, they're going to go into 2022, far into 2022. So if you haven't ordered your Christmas stuff yet for this year, you might want to start thinking about next year because it's going to be jammed up. And the head of UPS International said this is going to scar the global economy forever, forever. Which is kind of terrifying, kind of terrifying. I mean, I think, you know, we talked early in this pandemic about main streets with shuttered up storefronts and all of that jazz and the lasting scars that's going to bring. And I think if global shipping and supply chains get messed up, that's going to be really bad. That's going to be really bad.
And I mean, then the other thing that started, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Nope,
could really
I won't.
Work. No, that's fine. I
mean, I just imagine it reshaping global manufacturing, production. You know, it's going to take a while. Sure. I'm making it all sci-fi here, but we're going to look back on this and be like, yep, that's when we onshored everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's actually going to take a while. I think as we saw when the Trump tariffs came in, right, American companies were really quick to source their supply chains because it was costing too much from China, right? So they got leather goods from Vietnam or, you know, whatever. I think that'll happen way faster than we think. And it's going to be an interesting dynamic to watch in this global economy. And it will cost consumers more, just for the record. No, I'm time-stamping that one. And then I just want to point out that for the next 2 weeks, all the news of business and the economy out of Washington, D.C. is going to be about taxes and the debt limit and government funding and $3.5 trillion versus $1 trillion worth of infrastructure because the government runs out of money in 17 days. The House is not back in Washington for 10 more days, another week, 7 more days. And they've got a boatload of stuff to do and they're miles apart. And so just as you read the political news of the politics of this economy, bear that in mind. It's going to get ugly for the next 2 weeks and just blah. That's it.
Oh,
that's mine.
Oh, good. Great. So great. I can't wait for there to just be like more acrimony and illogic and I'm already seeing all these, you know, people being asked like, well, how come you don't support this bill if it pays for itself and it's revenue neutral?
Right.
Because numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good times.
So anyway, yeah. Those are mine.
Thanks. I have a little bit of
look at this.
Science.
Sorry, Ella Emhoff.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, I'm scrolling through the Slack as I was, you know, we were segueing here. And before we turned on the microphones, we were talking about the Met Gala. Ella Emhoff looks great. You're absolutely right.
I know.
That's
She's
a cool
so
outfit.
Cool. She's so cool. But I'm going to get to that in a minute, actually.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Sorry. Did I steal your thing?
I was literally like engaging in my make me smile as I was trying to start the show, but I couldn't. Yeah. It's like Science Monday. There were all these interesting and pretty shockingly headlined studies that all dropped today. One claiming, and this is absolutely fascinating, that overeating is not, in fact, the primary cause of obesity. Mm-hmm. These scientists put this study out today entitled The Carbo. It was published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. talking about the carbohydrate insulin model and essentially saying that we have, and the CDC and everybody has obsessed on this idea that you have to eat less and exercise more, that it's all about calories. And this is so interesting because I feel like everybody already knew this, because it's really not. It turns out what it's about is sugar. What it's about is simple carbohydrates that just like make you think that you're not getting enough food. And this is actually what's remarkable, is that that's all the case. But what these researchers found is that because of the way those carbohydrates interact with insulin, it does over time fundamentally change our metabolism. So that even though you have all of these Americans who might be eating less and exercising more, we may have changed our metabolisms because of these highly processed carbohydrates. And that's why we still feel hungry, even though we're continuing to gain weight. Fun. But super interesting. And hopefully we'll just like turn this conversation on its head, because over, you know, there's still all this fear about like fat, when in fact, like, fat is fine. That is okay.
On the sugar thing, David Leonhardt, who writes for the New York Times, does a thing every January where he does a no sugar January. And he says, you have to be really careful, because like you think you're having a glass of orange juice and you think you're being good, but there's sugars in there, man. And you got to be really careful. It's really hard. It's really hard in this, this dietary economy. We have to avoid sugars. So hard.
I've spent like the last few years trying to sort of do the no added sugar thing, where you just try not to, you know, like, well, like you said, it's impossible. When you start to look at labels, you'll just get furious about how much sugar is in everything, let alone just like bread and how processed it is and how not complex. So, yeah, it's really interesting, and hopefully it will change a lot about the way we eat. Also on the food tip, a big study that came out today, a major new study published in Nature Food, saying meat accounts for nearly 60% of all greenhouse gases from food production. So there's food production overall, and it's greenhouse gas emissions, and 60% of those emissions are related to meat, which emits 28 times as much as growing plants, which, yikes, is just going to have to.
We're just screwed.
By the way, the entire system of food production causes 17.3 billion metric tons of greenhouse gases a year. That is more than double the entire emissions of the United States. And 35% of all global emissions is just raising cows and pigs and chicken and other animals. We need to get on that petri meat, like, stat. And then the other fun study, Science Monday is so fun, also published in the journal Nature. This is the really bad one.
You're nerding for out today, man. That's, you know.
I don't know what happened. I know. I was just like really down the science rabbit hole today. For a livable future, 60% of oil and gas must stay in the ground, and 90% of coal must remain buried. And that is just to achieve the goals of the Paris Agreement, which many people say is still going to lead to some pretty severe warming and major weather changes.
So is that, sorry, I'm clicking on this link now as we speak, but is that like from now on, like starting today?
Today.
Because
today
we can't, but we can't get there right now, right? If we start today, we're already, you know, 15 years behind or whatever the hell it is.
What it means, if we start today, then global oil and gas production must decline 3% on average every year until 2050. So we don't have to go to zero extraction today, but we need 3% less this year, 3% less next year, 3% less the year after, which when you put it that way, seems very doable, right? Yeah. Like, come on. But it relies on us decarbonizing stat. And it relies on, you know, states in this very country not saying, hey, crypto miners, I know you got kicked out of China because China is actually trying to set some climate goals, but come to our state so that we can keep our coal economy alive.
Yeah.
Look at it too, Kentucky, Montana, West Virginia. It relies on things like that. Like, the coal market is dying and it needs to die. Otherwise, we die. Science Monday.
Also, I'd just like to point out
finally,
the United States
before
is the biggest
we go,
oil producer in the world. Go ahead, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then before we go to Make Me Smile, I want to point you toward this thread from Representative Katie Porter, who I'm not even going to lie, I love because the whiteboard thing is so incredible. But she has this thread about from the U.S.-Mexico border. And she just reports on her experience there, what she saw. And the takeaway, which is remarkable, is that, like, wow, we're telling people that they need to wait in line for an asylum process that doesn't exist. She was like, turns out we don't have that. So migrants are in these camps and they're really dangerous. And it's this really terrible experience because we literally have never created a lawful, orderly process for people to apply for asylum, which is, she points out, against our own laws. But what I really find remarkable about this and why I think you should go look at it is that I had this moment of being like, wow, this is like exactly what Twitter should be for. This is the highest, best use of social media. It's like person on the ground, pics or it didn't happen. It's not an opinion about a thing that she has not, that nobody's seen or is thinking about or was told about by an economic, you know, an academic.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, when I find Twitter so valuable, it's because it's a person on the ground that I would never otherwise hear from.
Right.
And that's exactly what this is, but it's a sitting member of Congress. And it's as reliable a firsthand report as you could possibly get. Good job, Twitter. Like, that's what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought it was really interesting. And why don't people do that all the time? Except, I guess that time those couple members of Congress were like, we're flying to Afghanistan in the middle of the thing. Don't do it that way.
Exactly, right? The fun on Twitter is throwing the red meat. That's the fun on Twitter for so many people.
Exactly.
Which is the lowest and most destructive use of social media, if we could just juxtapose here for a second.
Indeed. You know. Which is a story we skipped today, by the way, that one where the researchers were like, it's definitely made everything worse. Uh-huh. The end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, smile time. We better hurry up. We gotta smile.
Brian. All right, I kind of boogarted your make me smile. So you go first.
No, it's actually like totally appropriate because all throughout. Okay. Sorry if you can hear these noises. By the way, some metal is being sawed in my driveway, outside of my office.
As happens.
So. Profoundly unpleasant sound. all through this podcast, I have been returning over and over to my most favoriteest hashtag of the entire year, hashtag Met Gala. It's the Met Gala tonight, and it's the greatest hashtag. Speaking of Twitter being great, Twitter is so great on Met Gala Day. The theme apparently is, in America, a lexicon of fashion. People aren't doing great with it, for the most part, but there are some standouts, such as our favorite poet, Amanda Gorman. And where there was one other one, but I can't remember. Anyway, just enjoy your Monday evening refreshing Met Gala.
Yara Shahidi, she looks lovely.
Yara Shahidi,
Billie Eilish looks very 1950s Marilyn Monroe. Wow.
Right. Yara Shahidi looks like a princess.
She looks great.
I love her.
And Oscar De La Renta.
Yeah. Met Gala. Okay, I'm sorry. I lost focus. That's what happens. Doing?
That's right.
I don't know, but what a heck of a mess.
It's all good.
And then there was this great poll on the real reason that workers want to keep working from home. I mean, it's startling. Reading all these things about why workers want to work from home makes me realize, like, God, workplaces are crappy.
Oh, yeah.
And abusive, and they have dress codes, and everybody's, like, looking at you all the time. Anyway, 75% of remote workers want to just stay home because of their pets. 75%!
Yeah.
72% want the freedom to nap or exercise during the day. Agreed. But honestly, that pet thing. Seriously. I'll get it done. Just believe me.
Oh my goodness. That's right.
The number one
reason. Yeah.
Like the pets the number one reason. The number one reason was to spend more time with your kids and save money and time on your commute, right? And be more effective and productive during your day. But number three was caring for your pets.
Dogs. Yes. Yes.
I love it.
Totally.
Good job, people.
Totally. Yes. All right. Well, we go from high-minded to cow pee, an article in Bloomberg, which made me chuckle today. Scientists are toilet training baby cows to cut emissions. Apparently, cow pee has a lot of nitrate in it. So they're running a test with 16 baby cows, and this thing I kid you not, called a moolu.
I just opened the link. That's amazing.
Right? And apparently, and I'm quoting Bloomberg, which is a reputable news source, the toilet training program for calves is not dissimilar to how young children are potty trained, according to the scientists. So, you know, there you go.
Moolu.
Tony will have it on the show page or maybe Grace go. Or somebody. How about that?
But it would
reduce... Yes, it ties exactly back to the whole meat thing. It would take care of like 10 to 20% of greenhouse gas emissions. Sorry, if we could collect 10 to 20% of urinations, it would affect greenhouse gas emissions. So, look, we should do that.
I love
that. We should do that.
We should definitely do that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that thing you heard, by the way, was... Yes, that thing you heard is Bridget telling me that Marissa writes the show pages now because Tony's doing something else. But I'm just...
I mean, look at this woman. Never not on it.
No.
Speaking
oh my God,
of on it, you
gotta go. Yes.
Our dear friends. You, our dear friends, are totally on it. We are half full to the $250,000 fundraising goal. We need to be all the way full by Friday. But hey, at this pace, we believe.
We'll get
there. Do not expect just one person to get us there. None of us is as generous as all of us. Thank you so much to all of you who have given so far. Eric from Santa, California. Andrea in Lombard, Illinois. Russell in Marshalltown, Iowa. Ernie in Florence, South Carolina, Meredith in Gales Ferry, Connecticut, and over 1,000 other people who have gotten us this far. Awesome. And at least half of you want the banana pants.
You can have banana pants. There are ringtones. Give what you can. We would just, I mean, we need it. That's it. Marketplace.org/givesmart. And we'll, you know, we'll see it. But we appreciate all you can do.
We got this.
Truly.
We got this, team.
We got it. All right.
Thanks for everything. That is it for today. Tomorrow, deep dive on the upcoming 10-year anniversary of the Occupy Wall Street protest. If it changed at all the way you thought about inequality, please tell us about it.
You can do it by sending us your comments, your questions, makemesmart@marketplace.org, or call us. Leave us a voice message. Our number is 508-827-6278, 508-827-6278. You be smart is how we spell that.
It's so many numbers.
I'm not so smart because I was trying to read my native tongue and I could not do it. Anyway, Brian, please. Thank you.
Marketplace.org/givesmart
today. This
we
is
did.
Terrible.
We just had a great day.
Make Me Smart is it was the Met Gala. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Mark A. Green joins us on the production theme today too. Today's program was engineered by Brian Allison, downtown LA.
Bridget Bonner is our senior producer. The executive director of On Demand is Satara Nieves. Maybe the problem is our new Monday format, stuffed full of 100 stories.
That could conceivably be. Here's another thing we got to talk about.
Discussing.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. We did it to ourselves. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, but it was so good.
Yeah. Do, 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 do. Bam.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.